The introit, or entrance antiphon for this Sunday's Mass, comes from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4, and it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. The Lord is near." But it's in the Latin, "Gaudete semper in Dominum," Domino, that gives us Gaudete Sunday, a Sunday which is marked with joy because the Lord is near. Unfortunately, it seems so often to our ears and to our understanding, perhaps, that this Sunday is a misplaced Sunday. Or at worst, it might even seem quite meaningless. Why? We could think it misplaced because for so many, the celebration, the rejoicing of Christmas has already begun. If you like, it seems that we could say that the joyful Sunday should perhaps be the first Sunday of Advent. Otherwise, it becomes a meaningless Sunday because the word Gaudete is not a description, but it is a prescription for Sunday, which means that it's not describing how we are already feeling, but rather it is commanding us what we should be feeling. It's telling us, you need to rejoice. Go and celebrate today with joy. But what does it mean to break out into a joyful celebration if all the while we've already been celebrating? And isn't that the state that we find ourselves in living in America today? That it really shows us that we're celebrating two Christmases, or at least we have two different understandings of Christmas. There's the one Christmas that the world celebrates that begins with the months that end with Burr. Maybe October, November, definitely at least by September, we're right in the throes of Christmas, and it's all going to end on December 25th. And on December 26th, we wake up and the Christmas music is no longer playing on the radio. In fact, we think of Christmas and we're thinking, I'm tired of this. This is old, this is done, and I need to look forward to the new year, which is coming in just a few days. The second Christmas is that which the church proposes to us. That is the Christmas in which this Gaudete Sunday makes sense. This second Christmas begins with the feast of the vigil of Christmas, the vigil night of the birth of our Lord, December 24th. And it continues then the season of Christmas through the Epiphany and even into the baptism of our Lord all the way through January. And it is this Christmas in which the Gaudete seems to make sense because it is telling us that this rejoicing is set within the penitential season of preparing for the Lord's arrival. The first reading speaks of the joy at the nearness of the Lord. In fact, it is when God is near that we dare to rejoice. We are emboldened because God is near. He is so close to us that we can feel it in our hearts. We can see Him in our minds, and He is touching our very souls. However, the quality of this inward joy, which is signified by this Gaudete, is too often not familiar with us. Too many people would say, "But Father, I don't feel that joy. What's wrong?" And so, being unfamiliar with it, it is too easy for us, and it should come to us as no surprise, that not feeling the joy, but knowing that it's supposed to be a season of joy, we begin to manufacture our own joy. We begin to build our own happiness. Today, we think in our own society, everything that we need for a successful life, things which give meaning to our existence, it's determined by the criterion of instant gratification. It explains our constant impatience for anything that does not deliver the result that we want right now. Do we not say, I want it, and I want it now, if not earlier? And yet, we don't want to think that this impatience is something that is, and this concern for instant gratification is something which is only our society's problem, only our generation's issue. Don't dismiss it so quickly. This is a problem with human nature. It is a difficulty which we have been facing for all of our time, ever since the Garden of Eden. Consider the people of Israel. freed from sin, led triumphantly by Moses through the Red Sea, watching the power of God displayed by parting the Red Sea for them to pass through, and then allowing the sea to swallow up the greatest army, the Egyptian army. And then Moses leads them to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And he goes up the mountain to dialogue with God Almighty. And the people are waiting down below. And they grow impatient. And so they build for themselves a calf of gold. And they dance around the calf. And they offer sacrifices to the God, trying to create for themselves the experience of God, which they know Moses is having, but which they don't feel themselves. And so they build their own God, and they worship their own God, building the joy and trying to experience the divine on their own terms, not willing to wait for Moses to come back down. We often, too, manufacture our own joy or our own happiness. And we think that in this experience of manufactured joy or self-brought on pleasure and happiness, that this could be an expression of how near we are to God. And so when we feel down, we think that we are very far from God. And when we are so elated, we do not worry about ourselves. But this, my friends, is not the truth. God is not near to us because we are joyful. And our being joyful does not bring him down from heaven. Ask the drunkard if he is very close to God. Ask the person who is trying to find pleasure in sex or drugs or drinking if that is where God is to be found. Certainly that is pleasure. Maybe they would even experience the joy of intoxication. But are they finding God? No, joy flows from being near God. It's not that when we find joy, we find God, but rather when we find God, and when He comes near to us, then we can experience true joy. It is when He comes to free us from our sins, getting so close to us, more intimate to us than we let anyone else, that we allow God in to our hearts, that He brings with Him His joy. And so we want to see the joy of Gaudete Sunday is a different joy than the world offers. And I think the readings in the Gospel point to this. The first reading speaks in terms of a barren wilderness, being transformed into an oasis of abundance. And it links it to the second reading, there where St. James talks about the farmer's patience in waiting for the rain to come down and for the harvest to yield that abundant fruit. And so we see the key word to appreciating the joy of Gaudete is the word patience. Because the Gospel leads us not to an oasis or to the farm, but it leads us to the life of St. John the Baptist. We remember St. John the Baptist described last Sunday, the man so on fire with God that he is driven out into the desert, seeking to find that very closeness with God that Moses had found there in the desert. And out in the desert, he preaches to the people a gospel of repentance. And the people come from all over the world to experience God. They come to let go of their sins. They come to repent. But John now is in prison. Imprisoned for preaching repentance even to the king who refuses to repent, who does not want to confess his guilt of having married his brother's wife. And so denying himself repentance, he needs to deny John, and he imprisons John. And so there John is in prison, and he knows, well, he probably doesn't know it, but we all know that his life is very soon to come to that violent and bloody end. And so he hears, having sat in that dark, and we could even think smelly prison for a year. He hears the miracles and the stories of Jesus. He hears his cousin's miracles, but he also hears some of the scandalous events. How Jesus is eating with sinners. How he's associating with drunkards. How he's allowing prostitutes to interact with him. And from the sound of it, John then, and his more importantly, John's disciples, can begin to doubt. Is the Messiah coming? And what's even worse, we could think, the answer which Jesus gives to the disciples' question. It's not a very straightforward affirmative. It's not, yes, I am He, I am the Messiah, I am the one who is to come, I am the Son of God. But rather, it's Jesus directs John's disciples to the first reading. He says, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unsealed, and the lame leap like a deer, and the tongues of the dumb sing for joy. And Jesus ends with that line, which, happy is the one who takes no offense in me, or in other translations, happy is the man who does not lose faith in me. The point here of this conversation, even if it's a conversation via intermediaries, between these cousins, is not the conversation itself. Because we want to see that John, who knows that he will not be able to continue his mission, and he will not see it come to an end. John, confronted with the imminent knowledge that he might be losing his life there in prison, surrounded by a situation which could not be defeated, receives an answer from Jesus that produces one spark of joy, that breaks through the prison walls, that breaks through whatever fears and doubts existed in St. John the Baptist's mind. And it gives him a joy of knowing that his life has not been lived in vain. A life lived in vain. Is that not the question that so many of us contend with? Is it a wonder why more people commit suicide during this season of manufactured joy than any other time? A season where we are expected to feel happy, when the prevailing question on our minds is this all there is? When everyone else is giving that image of joyfulness, and we have the question, have I wasted my life in doing what I've been trying to do? Is this the meaning of my existence? Gaudete Sunday teaches us patience in our lacrimarum valley, in this valley of tears which we often experience our life to be. True joy or happiness cannot be manufactured, but it is a gift given to those who have lived faithfully for Christ, believing that though in our lives we may be experiencing the long, dry desert, being with God can transform that desert into the oasis of abundance. It is the joy that is given to those who are waiting patiently for the answer. The answer which in fact has already been given. For Jesus Christ is the answer to every man's existence. He is the joy. He is the hope of all ages. He gives us this assurance that our lives will never be lived in vain if we are faithful, like St. John the Baptist was faithful, holding to the truth regardless of what we face, confessing that Jesus is the one who I am not worthy to even untie his sandal, but having courage to nonetheless take those steps towards repentance, preaching repentance and living it in our own lives. Christ is the answer for each and every one of us, not merely for St. John the Baptist, but for all of us here present. He is present and He is the answer for those who, despite all evidence to the contrary, are faithfully living as husband and wife, or to the parents who are caring for their children who seem to be forgetful about the parental love, or to the children who are caring for their aged and declining parents, or for the siblings who are caring for their disabled brother or sister, or for the families who are continuing to believe despite the difficulty of death and other frustrations. He is the answer for those who are striving to provide excellent service, even if they're working in a society of corruption. He is the answer to the youth who are still striving for virtue, though they live in a cesspool of modern society. Gaudete Sunday is the answer to all of these people, all of you here present. It is your answer, because Gaudete Sunday reminds us that your life can never be lived in vain if Christ is near. He has come to us, to be very near to us, to collapse the distance between God and man. And we need to let Him in. We need to let Him transform our lacrimarum valley, our valley of tears, this sad life, into the joy of heaven. In conclusion, I opened by speaking of those two Christmases. And we cannot just avoid the world and live in a little Catholic ghetto where we're all just doing our own Catholic thing and no one out there has penetrated in. Because then the joy that we have and which we are able to experience will not penetrate out. No, we must live straddling them both. Some of us will have to entertain clients and have the obligation to fulfill those chain of Christmas parties leading up to the actual day of Christmas. All of the festivities, though, which come before Christmas, as necessary as they can be, we must not allow them to distract us with a false happiness or a manufactured joy. We need to focus on the true Christmas, which we are preparing still to celebrate. We cannot lose faith in Christ, who is our hope and our joy, even in the midst of the worst of troubles. Otherwise, our deserts will remain barren. Our deaf will continue to be left without hearing. The blind will continue to remain sightless. And that would truly to be living a life in vain. On the contrary, we think, Jesus Christ is very near. And this Sunday calls us to rejoice. To rejoice because the repentance which we can experience in the sacrament of confession, in which God truly forgives us of our sins, leaving us unburdened of all the guilt which we have placed upon ourselves through our poor decisions, through our selfish actions, through our losing faith, that can be washed away. Because God is willing to come very near to us, to forgive us, to feed us, to be with us. And the joy which God comes to bring is the joy of the Father who looks upon His Son. The joy of the Son who gives all that He is back to the Father. It is that joy of the Most Holy Trinity which God desires to share with us. Jesus says, I came that you might have life, and have it more abundantly. And when I dwell in you, when I abide in you, it is then that your joy may be complete. This, my friends, the joy of heaven, is the joy which we are called to celebrate on this Gaudete Sunday. Let us let Christ in through repentance, so that He can bring us His joy, the joy that knows no end.